It's a pretty unbelievable thing to get to sing Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that's what we celebrate during Christmas. That's what we commemorate during Christmas, is the fact that God came down to be with us, that he sent Jesus to be with us. It's actually an extraordinary thing that happened. I mean, it's an unbelievable thing that happened if you're able to wrap your mind around the fact that it actually did. See, if we're being honest in the room, there might be some of you in the room that you're not even really sure that it did happen, that maybe it's just a story that comes up every year that just kind of tries to give a little bit of meaning to this season, but it's kind of just been minimized to that nativity scene on the fireplace or in your neighbor's front yard or in the front yard of that church that you pass every time you drive to work, that you're not really sure that it actually happened. Or maybe you've been following Jesus for quite some time, and this church thing and this Christmas thing has become normal, and so has the Christmas story, that it's not really anything extraordinary. It's just another ordinary thing that just happens to be a part of the faith that you believe. It's mundane, and maybe it's just that. It's just a story. But if I could ask you for just a moment to maybe just for a few minutes today, open up your heart and open up your mind to the reality of what if this actually happened? Like, if you're in the room and you've never believed that it happened, what if it's not just a story that's made up and it's just in this thing called the Bible that you're not really sure you believe in, but what if it actually happened? What if God really did come down to be with us? And maybe you've forgotten how extraordinary this story actually is. What if you, maybe for the first time in a long time, were reminded of how extraordinary it is that Jesus, the Son of God, came to be born in order to save the world? So for a few minutes this morning, why don't you sit back, open up your hearts, and open up your minds to this unbelievably extraordinary thing that God did. So what if it actually happened? Because we believe that it really did. And if it did, it changes everything.
Love's not So I'll keep my eyes open, all in the maze. And if you start to doubt it, I'll remind you of the million ways I see it. I see it, I swear I do. I see extraordinary magic in you.
In the beginning, there was nothing. Nothing to hear, nothing to feel, nothing to see. Only emptiness and darkness, and nothing but nothing. But God was there, and God had a wonderful plan. I'll take this emptiness, God said, and I'll fill it up. Out of the darkness, I'm going to make light. And out of nothing, I'm going to make everything. God looked at everything he had made. Perfect, he said. And it was. But all the stars and the mountains and oceans and galaxies and everything were nothing compared to how much God loved his children. He would move heaven and earth to be near them. Always. Whatever happened, whatever it cost him, he would always love them. And so it was that the wonderful love story began.
You know, the beginning of the story is unbelievable, and it's so beautiful. To think about how God created, and every time he created, he said, it's really good, it's good, it's good. And then he created you, and for the very first time, he looked at you, and he said, it's very good. In fact, it's the best. It's the best thing I've created. It is the thing that I love the most. And as the story began, it was quite beautiful, but like most stories, it doesn't always stay beautiful. There's occasional problems and twists and turns and ups and downs, and so is this story. Unfortunately, the problems were introduced really by us, the thing that God loved the most. And the real problem was that we just felt like we could do it on our own, that we could do it without God, that we were good enough on our own, that we had it, that we didn't really need him. It's a difficult thing to kind of look at the person who loves you the most and created you and say, no, I got it. You can leave me alone. But that's kind of what happened. And in a way, in doing so, we found ourselves kind of wandering through darkness, maybe wandering through the wilderness, trying to navigate it, trying to figure out where to turn, what to do, where to go. And in a way, we were almost like sheep living without a shepherd, just wandering, trying to figure it out. But because of God's vast, great love for us, the thing that he created and loved the most, he decided that it wasn't okay for us to wander in the dark. It wasn't okay for us to live in the wilderness. He wanted to figure out a way to bring us back, to win us back. And so he decided to institute a plan. And in fact, he announced this plan through the prophet Isaiah. And in this announcement, he made an incredible promise for all generations.
Dear little flock, you're all wandering away from me like sheep in an open field. You have always been running away from me, and now you're lost. You can't find your way back. But I can't stop loving you. I will come find you. So I'm sending you a shepherd to look after you and love you, to carry you home to me. You've been stumbling around like people in a dark room, but into the darkness, a bright light will shine. It will chase away all the shadows like sunshine. A little baby will be born, a royal son. His mommy will be a young girl who doesn't have a husband. His name will be Emmanuel, which means God has come to live with us. He is one of King David's children's children's children, a prince of peace. Yes, someone is going to come and rescue you, but he won't be who anyone expects. He will be a king, but he won't live in a palace. And he won't have lots of money. He will be poor, and he will be a servant. But this king will heal the whole world. He will be a hero, and he will fight for his people and rescue them from their enemies. But he won't have big armies, and he won't fight with swords. He will make the blind see, and he will make the lame leap like a deer. He will make everything the way it was always meant to be. But people will hate him, and they won't listen to him. He will be like a lamb. He will suffer and die. It's the secret rescue plan we made from the beginning of the world. It's the only way to get you back. But he won't stay dead. I will make him come alive again. And one day, when he comes back to rule forever, the mountains and trees will dance and sing for joy. The earth will shout out loud. His frame will fill the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. Everything sad will come untrue. Even death is going to die, and he will wipe away every tear from every eye. Yes, the rescuer will come. Look for him. Watch for him. Wait for him. He will come. I promise.
It's quite a promise, and you can imagine if you're God's people and you're kind of living in this darkness, and then God promises a rescuer. He promises a hero. He promises a savior. That's an exciting promise. And so they began to do exactly what God asked. They began to watch, and they began to wait, and they began to watch, and they began to wait some more. But days turned into weeks that turned into years. And it actually turned into hundreds of years. In fact, there was a span of time, a 400-year span of time where God didn't say anything. No more revelation, no more prophecies. It was just really, really quiet. You can imagine what it felt like to live when you're waiting for this promise to be fulfilled and it's just quiet. And God seems to have forgotten. God seems to have kind of reneged on his promise. You wanted to keep waiting and you wanted to keep watching, but it was hard because it's just been so long. But just because God is quiet doesn't mean he's not paying attention. And just because God is silent doesn't mean he's not incredibly active. In fact, during that moments of silence behind the scenes, God was setting everything up exactly as it needed to be. And when everything was perfectly ready, God decided the time had come, and he sent his son, the Savior, the one that he had promised.
Everything was ready. The moment God had been waiting for was here at last. God was coming to help his people just as he promised in the beginning. But how would he come? And what would it be like? What would he do? Mountains would have bowed down, seas would have roared, trees would have clapped their hands, but the earth held its breath. As silent as snow falling, he came in. And when no one was looking, in the darkness, he came. Now Mary and Joseph had to take a trip to Bethlehem, the town King David was from. But when they reached the little town, they found every room was full. Every bed was taken. "Go away," the innkeepers told him. "There isn't any place for you." Where would they stay? Soon, Mary's baby would come, and they couldn't find anywhere except an old tumble-down stable. So they stayed where the cows and the donkeys and the horses stayed. And there, in this stable, amongst the chickens and the donkeys and the cows, in the quiet of the night, God gave the world his wonderful gift. The baby that would change the world was born, his baby son. Mary and Joseph wrapped him up to keep him warm. They made a soft bed of straw and used the animal's feeding trough as his cradle. And they gazed in wonder at God's great gift, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Mary and Joseph named him Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God has come to live with us, because of course he had.
Yeah, Emmanuel, God has come to live with us because of course he had. Because from the very beginning, you were the point of God's plan. From the very beginning, God's great love for you is the reason that Christmas even happened. We say all the time that Jesus is the reason for the season. And while that's true, it isn't the only part of it that's true. Because God's love for you is the reason for the season. And in a very real way, you are the reason for the season. Because God loves you so much. He's been pursuing you your whole life, not to pay you back, but to win you back, to embrace you back. The story of God is really just a love story between you and between him. And every time we drift away, and every time we wander like a sheep without a shepherd, every time we find ourselves in any version of darkness, God is always there. Emmanuel, God with us. And you can remember that Christmas is actually an important day, because Christmas is proof that God can be trusted. Because Christmas is proof that God always keeps his promises. And God has never promised to make life easy, but he has promised to sit right beside you when it's hard. He has promised to show you grace and love when you need it the most. And that's what Christmas is really all about. And in our Christmas services, we have a tradition of lighting candles. And the reason we do that isn't just because of a tradition. The reason we do that is because that light on that candle represents something really significant. It represents the light of life in Jesus that was given to this world, given to you individually, so that you could find hope and find a path that illuminated out of the darkness. For some of you, this candle will be significant this year, because 2018 is the year that you began a relationship with Jesus. For some of you, this year is significant because it's the year that you kind of re-engaged in a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you have been wondering for a while, and this is the year that you decided to quit wondering and to walk back. And when you came back, what you realized is that God was there the whole time with his arms wide open, just waiting to embrace you. For some of you, this light is going to represent what God has done this year, because maybe you've experienced some difficult times. Maybe there's been trials, tribulations, sicknesses, and this light represents God's love and his grace in the middle of your toughest season. Or maybe this year has just been really, really great. In fact, maybe you're sad to see this year go, but the reason the year was great wasn't just because of you, was it? It was because God showed up and created opportunities and created paths. And that light may represent what he did on your behalf, and maybe what he did through you in the life of others this year. Whatever it means for you, it means something significant, because the light of life has come, and Christmas is proof that God can be trusted. So before we light candles together, could we take a second and just pray? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us so much that you created a plan from the very beginning to win us back. And God, thank you that in your grace and in your love, that you sent the thing most precious to you, your son, to win the thing back that you love the most, your people. So God, thank you so much that we have the opportunity to engage in that kind of relationship with you, not through our behavior, but just through our belief and through your love. God, we love you. And Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. Hey, if you look under your seats, we have a candle for all of you, and our volunteers are gonna come by and help you light those.
Holy night, the stars are bright. sin and ever pining till he appeared, and the soul felt its worth, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices for yonder. Glorious morn fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Man, what a powerful name it is. Hey, so we love celebrating life change at Woodstock City. We do that in a lot of different ways, through baptism, through stories. But at the end of every year, we love to celebrate what's happened in the life of this church throughout the year. And so at the end of the year, we always ask people to raise their candle if this is the year that you began a relationship with Jesus for the first time, or if this year represents a year that you re-engaged in that relationship in a really significant way, maybe through a tragedy or through a difficult situation, or maybe you were just gone for a while wondering, but you decided to come back, and this year, 2018, marks that year in your life. We love to celebrate that with you. And so if that kind of describes the year for you, would you do me a favor and just raise that candle so that we can look around and celebrate? Yeah. Isn't that incredible? It's hard to clap because you'll burn the place down. So like, give a woo-hoo or something. All right, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, woo! Yeah, that's so cool. All right, you guys can blow your candles out because again, we did pay a lot for the building. All right. Hey, we have so enjoyed celebrating Christmas with you guys, and I hope that you have had a great time with us. Hope you have a really, really wonderful Christmas, and that 2019 is maybe even better than 2018. Couple of quick things I'd love to tell you about. Next Sunday, we do not have church, and so if you do show up, you'll have a great parking place, but the building will be locked, and so... But we will be back in 2 more weeks. We're beginning a brand new conversation we're excited about. It's called Better. We're going to talk about how to make next year a little bit better than maybe this year. So we'd love for you to come back in 2 Sundays. Bring some friends with you, and we'll see you soon. Have a merry, merry Christmas. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.